Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Foul Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. 11:08 here on a Saturday night. Program 157 in the series. To my right, the vivacious, very dimpled Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa? How
What's
are you?
What's up, Carl? I'm glad to be back.
We are back. It's a week, and you're... Wait a minute. You weren't here last...
I wasn't.
Well, you were here last Saturday.
I sure was.
But then she just abandoned us for the sunny state of Florida.
I did, but I came back.
It was nice. You went and visited your mom and dad.
I did.
That was so nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you had a good time?
I did.
Did you miss us, though?
They took good care of me.
I'm sure
I think
they did.
I was in bed by 9:30.
And our producer tonight is Sean Davis. What's up, Sean? How are you, buddy?
Everything good? How are you guys doing this evening? I'm doing great.
Excellent. Good to see you, sir.
We're happy to have you back.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. All right. On this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, 157 in the series, it's the story of Dr. Kildare. This was one of my mom's favorite radio shows, and she's listening. So, Mom, this is for you, the story of Dr. Kildare. Then it's the Jack Benny program, and then a good Western on Have Gun, Will Travel, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming crime-based film Baby Driver about a getaway driver who works for different bank robbers.
What do they win?
They will win a $25 gift certificate for Home of Chicago's Best, Lou Malnati.
All right, 312-981-7200. This actor played Don Draper.
And Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. Creates an itch. You simply put your product in there as a kind of calamine lotion.
Lisa, I have an itch on my back. Could you scratch it for me?
No, I can't.
All right. Who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
And we are back. We're so glad everyone is with us. This is show 157 of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
And Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. Creates an itch. You simply put your product in there as a kind of calamine lotion.
And we have Andrew on the line from Itasca. Hey, Andrew.
Evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
We're glad to hear from you, and we're hoping that you know who that actor is.
John Hamm, I believe.
John Hamm is absolutely right. Andrew, you are a winner, and you've won Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. It is Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza, our favorite deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnatis.com, and we hope you have a great pizza on us.
They're fantastic bruschetta also.
And we hope that you share with us as well.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It. Thanks for tuning us in. All right, it's time for the story of Dr. Kildare. This was a medical drama. Could you figure that out from
yes,
the title?
Yes, I'm aware.
Yes,
thank you.
Based on the characters made popular by a series of MGM melodramas. There were some films of Dr. Kildare, and they said, hey, these are pretty popular. Let's turn it into a radio show. The stories revolved around the patients and staff at Blair Memorial Hospital. Lou Ayres took the lead role of young, handsome, and skilled surgeon Dr. Kildare.
Could have been you.
Yes,
saying.
It could have been. And the character actor was Lionel Barrymore. He played crusty mentor figure Dr. Gillespie. And it was syndicated in 1950. It provided an effective precursor to the Dr. Kildare TV series seen in the early 1960s, starring Richard Chamberlain as Dr. Kildare and Raymond Massey as Dr. Gillespie. So we have a radio show for you now from September 14th, 1950. This is called The Marion Lewis Teenage Alcoholic Case. It stars Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore, part one of The Story of Dr. Kildare.
The Story of Dr. Kildare.
Whatsoever house I enter, there will I go for the benefit of the sick. Whatsoever things I see or hear concerning the life of men, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be held as sacred trusts. I will exercise my art solely for
the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer brought you those famous motion pictures. Now this exciting, heartwarming series is heard on radio. Now, the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Blair General Hospital, one of the great citadels of American medicine, a clump of gray-white buildings planted deep in the heart of New York, a nerve center of medical progress where great minds and skilled hands wage man's everlasting battle against death and disease. Blair General Hospital, where life begins, where life ends, where life goes on.
All right, one side, please. Let me through here now. Pardon me. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was.
Stand back now, will you? Please move back, everyone. Give her a chance to breathe.
Did you bring a doctor with you, officer?
No. You're the owner of this lunchroom?
Yeah, Hurley's my name. Should have brought a doctor. She's in bad shape.
Yeah, she looks it. What happened?
We walked in here about 5 minutes before midnight, stood there by the door a second, and she fell flat on her face, out cold.
Ever seen her before?
Nah. And don't get any wrong ideas. She didn't buy it in here.
Didn't buy what?
Smell her breath.
So that's it.
She's drunk. Boy, this younger generation.
Just a kid. 17 at the most. Oh, well, give me a hand here. We'll get her out to the car.
You gonna take her down and book her?
Planning to file charges?
Nah, just get her out of here. That's all I care.
I think I'll take her over to Blair Hospital. Come on, give me a hand.
Okay.
Yes, she seems to be responding to the caffeine a little now, Dr. Gillespie.
Good, Jimmy.
At least that fluttery pulse is beginning to straighten out.
I think you can start giving her the oxygen now. Keep her on it for a couple of hours or so. She'll pull out of it all right.
Yes, Doctor. Oh, Sergeant, it's a good thing you brought her here. That alcohol in her bloodstream running over 3 parts in 1,000. Well, she really needed a doctor.
Well, I didn't have the heart to run her in, Doc. She looked too young, I guess. Or too pretty.
Find anything in her purse?
Yeah, match folders and 3 different bars, for one thing. I'll pay him a little visit in the morning. She's an obvious minor.
Any identification, Blaine?
Marion Lewis, according to the card here. Address on the Upper West Side. Nearest relative is her mother, Mrs. Clyde Lewis. Same address.
Well, she certainly had one too many to find her way there tonight.
This girl's had a dozen too many, so it wasn't any accident. She did it on purpose. I wonder why.
Jimmy, stop right there. You're going out on a limb again.
Why should she deliberately set out to knock herself silly? What's behind it?
I don't know, and if you're planning to butt in and try and find out, you can do it alone.
Count you out. That it?
Confound it, yeah, sure. I'm getting too old for this probing into patients' lives.
I see.
It's a case of acute alcoholic poisoning. Oh, let's leave it that way. You just treat her and release her.
All right. Nobody's pushing you.
Dr. Kildare, the oxygen equipment is coming up in the freight elevator.
Good, Barker. Oh, Dr. Gillespie, do you mind if your able assistant stays here and helps me?
Of course I don't mind. Glad to get rid of old Snoopy for a while.
Well?
I guess I better get going, Jimmy. Want to check with the precinct desk and notify the girl's parents?
All right, Blaine. I'll let you know how she gets along.
I'll walk out with you, Blaine. I never like to interfere with Kildare's cases.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, there is one thing, Jimmy, though. Just for the report, of course.
Oh?
As soon as she's conscious, let me know what you find out about her.
Now, it's all right, Marion.
All right. Where am I?
You're in Blair Hospital. I'm Dr. Kildare.
Hospital?
Parker, you can have this inhalator taken out and bring some hot coffee. I think that'll be better now than the caffeine shots.
All right, Dr. Kildare. I'll be right back.
I wish I could die.
Oh, is that what you were trying to do?
No, but I didn't care whether I did.
17 years old and didn't care whether you lived or not?
I suppose you're like everybody else. You think it's just great to be young and everything's perfect. Simple and easy.
No, I think it's a fairly confusing world at any age, Marion. But it's a lot worse when you're just finding it out.
No, I found it out all right. How did I get here?
The police brought you.
The police?
Mm-hmm. Sergeant Blaine, friend of mine. He passed out in an all-night lunchroom.
What are they going to do to me?
Nothing. There are no charges against you. After you're released in the morning, you can go right out and do the same thing again if you like.
Yes, I probably will. What of it?
Oh, one night you won't get to a doctor soon enough, or a car will run you down or something.
I know. I don't care.
Marion, how long has this been going on?
Drinking? The last few months. Tonight was the worst yet.
Like to tell me the reason?
You wouldn't understand. You just think it was silly. Even my father and mother don't understand.
Unfortunately, parents are the last to understand sometimes. It's a mixed-up world for them, too, you know.
Not for mine. They got it all figured out. And they despise me. They hate me.
Oh, come in, Parker.
Here's the coffee, Dr. Kildare. The night supervisor had some already made.
Good. Put it here on the table by the bed.
All right, Doctor.
You probably don't want this, Marion, but let's try to get a cup or two down anyway.
Dr. Kildare...
You can have a little cream if you like, but it's better if you drink it black.
Oh, Dr. Kildare.
Well, Dr. Gillespie, you wanted a full report as soon as she was conscious enough to,
Kildare, this is Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, Marion's parents.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
I've just been talking to your daughter.
How is she?
How is she? We've already found out she's dead drunk.
Clyde, please.
She's going to be all right, Mrs. Lewis.
Oh, thank heaven.
Oh, Elizabeth, you take up for that kid no matter what she did. She's no good, and that's all there is to it.
I'm afraid I don't agree with you, Mr. Lewis.
I suppose you think you know more about her than I do.
Strangely enough, I think I do.
Jimmy.
Excuse me, Dr. Gillespie. Mr. Lewis, I'd like to talk to you in the outer office for just a minute.
Huh? All right.
Oh, Dr. Gillespie, I knew something like this was going to happen to my daughter.
Mr. Lewis, I've just been talking to your daughter, as you know, and, well, if I may take the liberty of advising you, I'd like to say that she has a good many problems.
Problems? A girl her age has problems?
Not to you, maybe, but enough to put her in a hospital. The reason I wanted to talk to you out here, away from your wife, is that in time, they might become big enough to kill her if you're not worked out.
And what are all these problems?
Oh, just little ones. Silly ones, in fact. Like you wanting her to wear clothes too young for her, and that she's not allowed to have dates when other girls of her age are. Things like that.
No, that's it. That's what started it all.
Hmm?
One night I caught her sneaking out and meeting some fellow at the corner drugstore. Lock her up in her room for a month.
Don't you realize you just can't lock a person up and expect them to understand? You've got to talk things over with them.
Talk it over with her? You act like she's already a grown-up woman.
Well, at 17, if she's not well along to being grown up, she never will be. You see, Mr. Lewis, a girl her age has
got to... All right. Everybody to their own opinion. She'll be ready to leave here in about 10 minutes.
She won't be ready to leave here tonight.
Why not?
Because, Mr. Lewis, I'm not ready to release her.
Well, now, we'll just have to see about that young fellow. I think you've got a few things to learn.
Maybe so, but in my opinion, there are a whole lot of things you ought to learn, Mr. Lewis, and for the sake of that girl, you'd better learn them fast.
Hmm. All righty. Let's pause right here on the story of Dr. Kildare, a broadcast from September 14th, 1950, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Also, great cast in this. Virginia Gregg and Ted Osborne, Lorene Tuttle, Jack Crucian. Yeah, great cast. Yeah, this was an MGM syndicated radio show. Yes, Lisa?
I was going to say, of course it was, because we only play the best of the best.
This is true. All right, we're going to tell our listeners all about a free service where they can get 52 classic radio shows each and every year here, but just by listening to this program. But first, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back. Are you Carl Amari or am I Carl Amari?
I get confused sometimes.
Wolf? I can't.
I mean, we're so alike, I almost confuse you.
I know,
with
we look
me.
Exactly alike.
Just, you know, our personalities,
our looks.
Your
hair's a little longer.
Not much.
Yeah. All right, so this is the WGN Radio Theater. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. I get here around 10. Lisa gets here about 10:59 and 30 seconds.
That's perfect.
Just bullies like her way through.
Time it just
and
right.
And just says, all right, turn my computer on. Give me my...
Yeah.
Right,
we
Sean?
Can
she
start
starts
the show.
Barking orders.
I've arrived.
I'm not joking, right? She barks orders at everybody.
She's a sweetheart when she does it, though.
But she does bark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bark like a sweetheart?
Yeah.
I'll take
it. I didn't say bark. He said bark.
You're right.
All right, so we're here on the weekends. We're the weekend team.
Yeah.
We play these classic radio shows here, all your favorites.
We're the tag team here.
Jack Benny, The Shadow, Burns and Allen.
Dr. Kildare.
And that's what we're listening to right now. So let's go back to September 14th, 1950. Here's the conclusion of the story of Dr. Kildare.
Jimmy, I agree with you. You're absolutely right. But confound it, relax. Calm down.
Okay, Dr. Gillespie. I'm sorry I lost my temper, but...
Well,
oh, well.
I know. That righteous smugness of his would make anybody.
Yeah.
He can't see any side of it but his own.
It's just it. There's nothing really bad about that girl. All she needs is someone who will treat her as a person, who'll listen to her ideas and try to understand her.
Well, I guess her father's given her very little of that. You know, Jimmy, it's the same old business. 9 times out of 10, alcoholism is a secondary problem. There's always something behind it. Usually the reason isn't as clear-cut as this one. Come in. Well, if it isn't Dr. Carew.
Gentlemen, just step right in, Mrs. Lewis. Mr. Lewis?
Thank you.
By the great horn spoon. Carew? Do you sleep in that gardenia?
Certainly not, Dr. Gillespie. But merely because it's 3 o'clock in the morning is no reason not to make oneself presentable when one is called on to appear in public, that is.
Presentable.
Dr. Kildare, these people tell me you've precipitated a little crisis.
Well, I...
Carew, inasmuch as Kildare and I have similar opinions in this matter, you may address us collectively.
Oh, dear.
Why, Dr. Gillespie, I thought you were too old for this sort of thing.
Ah, ridiculous. Well, Carew, fire at will.
Now, Dr. Gillespie... Look, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm only concerned with one thing. Dr. Carew... Suppose you give this young man his orders. Now, Mr. Lewis, just leave this to me.
Carew, the answer is no.
Dr. Gillespie, please. Now, Dr. Kildare, I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to release the young lady to the custody of her parents at once.
Sorry, but I'm holding her for observation.
Observation? She's able to talk. She's able to go home where she belongs.
I'm not so sure that is where she belongs.
Now, Dr. Kildare, we can't let our personal opinions enter into our cases, you know.
Well, then call it a professional opinion. Dr. Carew, she's under my care, and according to law, she stays there until I release her.
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't take such an unfortunate attitude as...
And I'll get it. Kildare speaking.
Sergeant Blaine, Jimmy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sorry to have to tell you this, but there's just been a complaint filed against the Lewis girl for shoplifting.
What? Are you sure it's her?
Can't be any doubt, since the description filed fits both her and the clothes she was wearing.
Well, look, Blaine, can you stall until the morning, and I'll call the shop and try to fix it up or something.
I'll do what I can, Doc. Call me in the morning.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Goodbye. Well, there's no use having any further discussion about this tonight. I've got a patient who's in trouble, and if I can, I'm going to help her out of it. But regardless of what anyone says, I'm not going to release her until I'm ready. That's final. What's that? 4 a.m., Dr. Gillespie. With all the irate parents and our fat-headed superintendent cleared out now, maybe we can finally get some sleep.
Yeah, could be, Jimmy. Of course, we still haven't done much toward clearing up the problem, though.
I know. I can hold them off for the moment by refusing a release for Marion, but that's only temporary. Something has to be done tomorrow.
What about this shoplifting business? It's pretty serious, isn't it?
Serious enough. Apparently, Marion tried on some clothes in a dress shop, then left wearing them while the sales girl was busy at something else.
Ah, the crazy young fool.
Now, Blaine's going to stall the warrant as long as he can. I'll call the shop in the morning, see if I can get them to drop the charges if I guarantee the cost of the clothes.
Getting in pretty deep, aren't you, Jimmy?
Oh, what can you do? Well, I noticed you were right there with me.
Well, that was merely a personal attitude toward Carew. If he'd said black was black, I'd have said it was green.
All right, so it was entirely personal. And it still doesn't answer the question, how are we going to help her?
The girl needs understanding. Problems as simple as that. Only the answer's not quite as simple.
No, because the only logical answer is to bring her and her parents together. Right now, they're 1,000 miles apart.
They need some common basis to work from. By the tarnation, aside from the fact that they're distantly related by birth, I don't see one.
Neither do I. Now, I'm going to talk to both sides again in the morning.
Do that, Jimmy, do that. Now, we'd better both get some sleep, or tomorrow you'll look as wilted as Carew's gardenia.
Why I did it, Dr. Kildare. I only meant to look at the clothes and try them on. And they were so beautiful and so...
So they made you look grown up, huh? They were clothes you'd picked out yourself?
Yes. And I was so miserable I didn't care what happened. So I took them.
Took them? You know, we never get anywhere by kidding ourselves, Marion. Is that really what you mean?
No. I stole them. Dr. Kildare, will they send me to jail?
No, they got a check this morning. They've withdrawn the charges.
You sent them? But why? I can't pay you back. I don't have a job. My parents think I'm too young to work.
Well, forget that for the moment. We'll worry about it later. Marion, how did all this start?
Well, I don't know. My folks wouldn't let me have friends at home. Not any at all.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I got so I'd slip off to the corner drugstore and talk to people. Boys.
Mm.
It wasn't anything. We just laughed and talked.
I see.
And Dad found out about it and locked me in my room at nights for a month.
So finally it all led up to last night, huh?
Yes.
And a dead end, too, because that isn't the solution, you know.
Dr. Kildare, there isn't any solution. I won't go back home again and have them tell me how low I am, how ungrateful, and how I failed them. And there's nothing else. Nothing.
Well, now, Mr. Lewis, maybe Kildare isn't quite as wrong as you think he is.
Of course he's wrong.
Now, wait a minute. You and I come from what they call the older generation. And the world's changed a lot since we came into it.
Well, maybe the world has, but right and wrong never change.
Oh, that could be. I sometimes wonder, though, if we don't use these words right and wrong pretty loosely. Anything that we're familiar with, that is, that we learned before we were 21 years old, we call right. And anything new that's come along since, we call it wrong. With no basis for it either way.
Well, I can't agree with you, Dr. Gillespie.
Huh?
Everybody knows the things this modern generation does, and I won't have Marion acting the same way.
Well, it seems to me that people have been selling the younger generation short for about 20 centuries or more. But each time they managed to come through it all right.
No, sir, things were different when we were young.
Ah, different, yes, but not necessarily any better. And you know, we didn't do such a hard job of building a new world, Mr. Lewis.
Well, nevertheless, I feel that...
Come on in, Jimmy.
Mr. Lewis.
Good morning, Dr. Kildare.
I guess I owe you an apology. Sorry I lost my temper last night.
Well, I did a little of that myself, as I remember. But I think we can be more reasonable about it this morning.
Oh, I hope so.
And my wife's waiting downstairs, so if you'll fix up that release, we'll just take Marion right along with us.
Well, she's a very hurt girl, Mr. Lewis, or a very sick one, if you want to put it that way.
Well, hangover can get...
No. It's a lot deeper than that. I do hope you'll be gentle with her, try to talk to her and reason with her.
Look, Kildare, when I was a kid and did anything wrong, my father didn't talk to me. He used the back of a hairbrush. That's reason enough for me.
It's no use, Jimmy. I tried every argument I could think of.
Well, Dr. Kildare, are you going to sign that release or not?
No, I'm not, Mr. Lewis. In my opinion, Marion still needs medical care.
In that case, I'd better see a lawyer.
Whatever you like.
Oh, one other thing, Kildare. I understand you paid off that dress shop for the clothes Marion stole. Of course, I want to make good
for... Save it for the funeral.
I see. Well, I'll find out from the police and mail you a check. I pay my debts.
I can tell you one you'll never be able to pay.
I think that's a matter of opinion. Good day, gentlemen.
Well, there goes nothing.
He's hard-headed, all right.
And the worst of it is, he loves his daughter. He's just as hurt as she is.
Sure he is, but he's too confounded stubborn to tolerate any idea but his own.
And there's nothing we can do. Uh-huh. If he sees a lawyer, he'll have her back in his custody within 24 hours. I can't support any claim that she needs further medical care.
Well, we did all we could. But...
Now, come in, Parker.
Dr. Kildare, have you forgotten you're supposed to make the rounds in the crippled children's ward at 11 o'clock?
No, Parker, I was just about to... Say, you know something?
What?
A long shot. Parker.
Huh?
Go stop Mr. Lewis and bring him back here. His wife, too. Hurry.
We've seen about enough of this now, Dr. Kildare.
Oh, there's only one more section, Mr. Lewis. It's right ahead of us.
Well, it can't be much different than the others.
Now, here we are. Now, we won't go inside. We can look through these windows along the corridor. These children are all under 5 years old.
Oh, and all of them are handicapped in some way.
In various ways. And furthermore, most of them are charity patients, wards of either the hospital or some charitable organization.
Dr. Kildare... I assume you had some point in mind when you insisted we come here with you. I wonder if you'd explain just what it was.
Oh, I'm not sure whether I can explain it, Mr. Lewis. I guess I wanted to show you some of the differences in handicaps and to point out that physical handicaps aren't the only kinds. Look, Mr. Lewis, that curly-headed little boy there by the window, the one with braces on both legs.
Yes, I see.
Suppose he was yours and you didn't happen to like the way he was forced to walk. Now, what would you do? Try to help him to learn to walk his way or beat him with a hairbrush because he couldn't walk your way?
Well, I...
Can you imagine a child like that being no good?
Well...
Oh, Clyde, we have been wrong sometimes, you know. We failed her as much as she could ever fail us.
I wonder if maybe you aren't right. So many things we could have done and didn't.
So many things we thought were important. Perhaps they're not.
Elizabeth, I think maybe we'd better talk this over.
You'll find a conference room at the end of the corridor. You won't be disturbed.
Well, thanks, Dr. Kildare. Come on, dear.
Well, I'll be darned.
You're the luckiest man I ever saw.
Hmm? Oh, I didn't hear you come up.
Long shot paid off, huh?
Well, that's the way it seems.
And I'm glad it did, but...
But what?
Jimmy, would you mind explaining the logic of your plan?
Well, I don't know. I just had a hunch, I guess, a feeling.
But confound it, Jimmy, it doesn't even make good sense.
Only there's one thing about it, Dr. Gillespie.
What?
It worked.
Confound it, Parker. Can't Kildare and I have 5 minutes' conversation without you poking your long nose in?
Well...
Never mind. What do you want?
Well, Dr. Carew's outside there. Shall I show him in?
Show him in. Show him out. I don't care where you show him.
I think I know what he wants. I doubt if he's heard
yet. Oh, let's pour it on him, Jimmy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, Jimmy, look, if it isn't Dr. Carew.
Yes, I believe it is at that.
Gentlemen, please.
Step into our parlor, Carew. Speak up. What's on your mind?
Gentlemen, I refrain from exercising my authority, but there can be no more quibbling now, no more dilly-dallying.
Isn't that word dilly-dallying, Dr. Gillespie? Well,
Jimmy, I think you're right.
Gentlemen, that girl, I want her released at once.
I guess he means you, Jimmy. I'm not holding any girl.
Dr. Gillespie, you know very well who I mean. It's that Marion Lewis girl.
Lewis? Marion Lewis?
Well, there is something familiar about that name.
Oh, I remember, Dr. Gillespie. That's the girl who left with her parents right after lunch.
Dr. Kildare, I won't listen to any...
You know, I don't think Dr. Carew really knows what's going on around here.
Oh, dear. But I thought... I mean, you said that... But last night you... Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Parker! Open the door for Dr. Carew. He's trying to walk through the back of the closet.
You have just heard the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. This program was written by Les Crutchfield and directed by William P. Russo. Original music was composed and conducted by Walter Schumann. Supporting cast included Virginia Gregg, Ted Osborne, Lorene Tuttle, Tal Avery, Barbara Ruick, and Jack Crucian. Dick Joy speaking.
All right, Lisa Wolf, that is the story of Dr. Kildare, September 14th, 1950, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Hope our listeners enjoyed that. Hope my mom loved that because she, when she was a kid, her and her brothers, they used to dress up like nurses and doctors and play in the, you know, in the apartment where they lived and listen to the show.
Well, you know what I think, Carl? I think that anything you play, your mom would love.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she's your mom.
I could play White Noise.
And she'd say you did a great job. Yeah. And that's what moms are
that's
for.
That's right. She's my biggest fan. My sister, Carlene, too. She's one of my biggest fans.
I know.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Of course, we'll have all the post-game on the Oscars, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the excuse-making, and the celebrations, plus the bail money needed.
You drunk! It's disgusting!
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm Trina Webster.
And I'm Dan Webster, founders of Z-Quiet. Let me be honest, I snored.
Yeah, he did. Crazy loud.
And I was forced to sleep on the couch most nights.
Dan tried everything, including surgery, to solve his snoring problem.
Nothing worked.
So we turned to experts and created a solution that's a total game changer, a mouthpiece called Z-Quiet.
Not just any mouthpiece, one that gently opens the airway where the snoring happens. In fact, it's based on the same technology as treatments costing thousands of dollars.
It allows natural jaw movement so you can talk, breathe normally, and best of all, sleep comfortably without making a sound.
And what's really cool is that it couldn't be easier. Just pop it in before you go to sleep to kick snoring out of bed.
So you can sleep quiet
with Z-Quiet.
Z-Quiet fits both men and women. Try it risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011.
Hello, Belly Flattening Helpline.
Hi, is this the number for the free trial of that Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics?
It is. We're giving away free trials to anyone, male or female, who's over 18 and wants to flatten their belly fast.
I heard that Newbiotics is so effective it can actually cleanse pounds of sludge from your belly. Is that true?
Sure is. Newbiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So you look and feel great. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day.
Wow, I'm glad I called.
If you're over 18 and want to flatten your belly fast, call now for a free trial of Newbiotics. 1-800-600-1347. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving these trials away for free. 1-800-600-1347. If lines are busy, try again. That's 1-800-600-1347.
Winter can be brutal. Slips, trips, and falls are the leading cause of winter-related
related injuries. Don't slip up this winter. Get Snow & Go Winter Traction Aid with Ice Melter to create instant traction while melting ice and absorbing the standing water to prevent refreeze. Created by Oil Dry, Snow & Go is all natural, user and pet friendly, and features absorbent ceramic granules which embed into ice for instant, long-lasting traction. Saddest traction only from Snow & Go. Available at Walmart, Menards, and other fine retailers.
The Jack Benny program plus Have Gun Will Travel still coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it is 12:06, and it's Sunday.
It is.
Yeah, we made it. Sunday.
We made it.
Although this is our first of two weekend shows.
I still call this Saturday. Our Saturday show.
Yeah, it's kind of our Saturday show, even though it's Sunday morning. Yeah, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. We play six classic radio shows for you. And in this hour, we have the Jack Benny program. And then in our 1 to 2 o'clock hour, it's Have Gun, Will Travel. Remember, Have Gun, Will Travel is a television show. Have you ever watched that show
on
like MeTV and stuff?
No.
I have all the DVDs of it. And it started out as a black and white show. And then it was doing so well. They were like, hey, let's spend the money. Let's shoot it in color.
Yeah.
So I have DVDs of the black and white and the color. And Richard Boone, he was awesome as Paladin. But when they did it on radio, they used a different guy. They used John Daner on radio. But he does a great job. So we have a Have Gun, Will Travel episode in our next hour. But this hour, it's the Jack Benny program. All of it brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This fine actor stars as the boss of the Minions in the upcoming 3D computer animated comedy Despicable Me 3, a sequel to the 2013 film Despicable Me 2.
Hmm.
And the winner gets a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's
All
pizza.
Right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yeah, right. God, I've been looking for that speed dating card. Thank you so much for bringing it to me.
I just love him.
Oh, gosh, he's one of the best. 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? Give us a call. We'll find a winner after this break.
And we are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Oh, yeah, right. God, I've been looking for that speed dating card. Thank you so much for bringing it to me.
Let's talk to Melissa from Malta, Illinois. Hi, Melissa. You there? Melissa. There she is. Melissa.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Glad we found you. And we're hoping that you think that guy is as great as we do. Who is that actor?
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Are you a fan of his?
Yes. Office was great.
Oh, it was. It was. Well, thank you for calling in. Steve Carell is the right answer, and we are thrilled to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa. All right. It's time for Jack Benny.
Oh, yes.
We all love Jack Benny. Of course, the most beloved American entertainer of the 20th century, really. He was born in Chicago, Lisa. Grew up in Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah.
Played the violin. He did a very nice job on the violin, although he kind of used it as a prop, but he really was an excellent violin player. His radio show was 1932 until 1955. He played a fictional version of himself on the radio. He was Jack Benny, the film and radio and TV star. And the plots revolved around Benny's persona of a cheap, vain, insecure, untalented braggart who never aged past 39. Yeah. He said, that's it. I'm 39.
I don't blame him.
And he surrounded himself with fantastic characters. Mary Livingston, of course, who was his real-life wife. Phil Harris, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Dennis Day, Don Wilson. His TV show started in 1950, lasted 15 years on
That's
television.
Really something.
Yeah, very, very popular comedian. Terrific actor. And you're going to love this. This is the Lucky Strike program, although we've removed all of the Lucky Strike commercials because we can't air cigarette commercials on the radio. This is the Jack Benny program, April 27th, 1947. And Jack's special guests are Ronald and Benita Coleman. Here's part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program.
Starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday, immediately after the broadcast, Jack Benny and his gang leave for the East to fulfill vaudeville engagements in Chicago and New York. So let's go out to Beverly Hills, where we find Mary and Rochester helping Jack prepare for the big event.
Gosh, Mary, isn't it exciting? Next Sunday, we'll be on that train. A few days later, we'll be on the stage at the Chicago Theater.
You know, Jack, playing vaudeville is going to be a lot different from radio.
You said it.
I brought a couple of dresses over so you can tell me which one you think will look best.
Good.
Here. How do you like this one?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't look bad, and I like the puff sleeves. But I think the neck is cut much too low.
That's the back.
Oh. So hard to tell when it's empty. let's see the other dress, Mary.
Okay. How about this one? It has a rainbow sash, a peekaboo waist, and I...
No, don't bother, Mary. I've changed my mind. I'll wear a tuxedo. I mean, that stuff doesn't get laughs anymore, you know? But you know, Mary, it's going to be fun getting back on the stage again. What are you laughing at?
Did you hear what Fred Allen said about you last week?
No, Mary. What did he say?
Well, he said...
He said that? Well.
And not only that, Jack. He said that you killed vaudeville. Now you're returning to the scene of the crime.
Certainly I killed vaudeville. After the way Alan made it suffer, what I did was an act of mercy. Alan thinks he's so smart since they made him a vice president. Anyway, in spite of what Alan says, when we get to Chicago Theater, we're going to have a terrific show. Which reminds me, Rochester, did you buy the new strings for my violin like I told you to?
Uh-huh. I couldn't decide whether to get you the wire strings or the gut strings.
Well, why didn't you ask the man?
I did, and he said, take shoelaces. Nobody will know the difference.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, how can I get music out of laces?
You can play Shoo Shoo Baby by Florsheim. Oh, Livy, paint your eyes red. You're another Phil Harris.
Mary, stop clowning. I got to think about the show I'm going to do in Chicago. Gee, it's going to be sensational. I can just see it now. The band plays da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, da-dum, da-dee-da-da-dum. Thank you, Rochester. Then I step out on the stage into a big spotlight and take my first bow like this.
Jack, that's no bow. You have to bend from the waist.
You mean like this? Ooh, my back.
Come on, Jack, try it again. Get your head lower.
Mary, I can't bend down any further.
Let's tie his hands behind his back and put a dollar bill on the floor.
Never mind, Jack. You can practice bowing later. Straighten up now.
Okay. Ooh, it isn't like it used to be in vaudeville. I can't straighten up. I mean, I can't stay bent over like this. Rochester, don't stand there. Do something.
I'm thinking, boss. I'm thinking. I got it.
What?
As long as you're in that position, let's go upstairs and bring down the trunk.
Well, cut that out. Mary, this is all your fault. There, I'm all right now. Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Dennis.
Oh, hello, kid. Hey, you should have been here a couple of seconds ago, Dennis. I was bent over and I couldn't straighten up.
Gee, that happened to my father once. He bent down to lift something and he couldn't straighten up again.
Why, what did he do? Or what did you do, rather?
Well, my mother tied his head to the radiator and his feet to the bed.
Yeah?
And then she took her arms and pushed down on him and pushed and pushed, when all of a sudden, boing!
Gee.
Vertebrae flew in all directions.
Well, look, kid, I'm getting ready to do a stage show, and I want to get my act in shape. Have you got any ideas?
Well, last summer I wanted to give my voice a rest, so I formed an adagio act, and I went on the road.
Dennis, you did an adagio act?
Yeah, but I had to give it up.
Well, you weren't strong enough, huh?
Oh, I was plenty strong. I take the girl, whirl her around my head, and then throw her. The first time she broke her arm. Then she broke her leg, and then she broke her nose. I felt awful about it.
Well, that doesn't sound like your fault, Dennis. Maybe when you threw her, the other fellow didn't catch her right.
Oh, other fellow.
Mary, stop looking at him like that. He's only a kid.
Say, Jack.
What?
Rochester is so anxious to go on the stage with you. Why don't you let him do a song?
Hey, that might be a pretty good idea. How about it, Rochester?
Oh, boss, forget it.
No, Rochester, don't be bashful. Now, come on. I mean, you might be swell on the stage. Go on. Let's hear you sing a song. Maybe we can put it in the show, huh?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mama. She's fine. Hey, boy, that's what I like about the song. There you may
no, not that number, Rochester.
No, there's a never shake.
Oh, Rochester, not that number.
Thank you, that's what I like.
Rochester, that's Phil's song.
Did you hear the place called Leo? I did hear
Rochester, look, wait a minute.
Go up small, but I'll
wait a minute.
That's what I like about the song.
Wait a minute.
She's got backbones and butter.
Wait a minute! Dennis, if anybody sings around here, I'd rather it be you. Now, come on, let's have it.
Oh, how it danced on the night we were wed.
That's the first portion of the Jack Benny program, broadcast date of April 27th, 1947, with Jack Benny and all his gang. You heard Dennis Day there singing. Great tenor voice on John Dennis Day.
He had a beautiful voice.
Sounds a lot like
it sounds a lot like yours, Carl.
How you sound when you sing,
mm-hmm. Or you in the shower. I mean, I wouldn't know.
You should
that.
Hear how good I sound. I sound
really?
Great in the shower.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'll skip that.
That's
one, actually.
Really about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no musical abilities whatsoever. Can't mm-hmm. play any instrument. Can't.
Well, you have other abilities.
Can't speak any language. Barely speak English.
I was going to say, you know, first you got to be proficient at the first one, at your native
language.
Can't
speak another language.
I can't
that's
either.
That's terrible.
I can't
you know?
Either.
The 4 years I went to school, and that's all I could talk is one language.
All you can talk is one language,
or all
barely.
I can talk me is one language.
Barely one. All I can talk.
Wow.
Wait,
yeah.
Didn't you take a foreign language in high school? They required everybody to take a foreign language.
Yeah, but you can't be
fluid. I actually studied to
that.
Be an astronaut when
I
was.
Oh,
here we
Roger.
Go again. I'm
Why
sorry.
Why do you do this?
Mm. I asked about a foreign
Roger,
language, not about a foreign subject.
Roger, you set him up.
Sean, did you know that? I studied to be an astronaut when I was in
Sean, don't ask.
College.
Don't ask, Sean.
Please, no.
I did. I took up space.
Wait, you don't? And he does it, and he doesn't even have the
you
sound
know,
effects.
I forgot to put my sound effects button up. Oh,
he's
man.
Got me. He doesn't need that. I got him covered, Roger.
Gosh. You baited me right into that,
you
though.
Did.
I have
I'm going to have to blame you for that one, Roger.
That was all your fault, Roger.
Yeah, well.
Everything is. Usually.
I have a whole week to catch up on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break for commercials, and then we'll be right back. All right, so and that's it. We're going to go to news in a few minutes here, Sean. Okay, so let's do the rundown. All right, we have more of Jack Benny.
Right.
Then after Jack Benny, we have
Have Gun Will Travel.
We have Gun Will Travel.
That's from March 22nd, 1959.
And then what's coming up tonight when we come back here?
On Sunday night, we have the new adventures of Nero Wolfe, my great great uncle. So.
Nero Wolfe tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I mean tonight?
Right.
I don't know.
That's what I scheduled. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
No. Oh, there was a mistake on that.
No, gosh, that's a mistake.
Oh, Carl, you typed it up wrong.
Oh, my. All right. We have suspense. Hang on a second. All right. We'll tell you a little later.
We do have the Great Gildersleeve.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll have to let you know
we'll
later.
We'll have to let you know. I don't have it in front of me.
He's
it's in my briefcase.
Slacking off over here.
I goofed up. Yeah, Have Gun Will Travel's coming up next. Yeah.
Okay, that's for sure.
Yeah, after Jack Benny, we have Gun Will Travel. And then, we're back here tonight at 10 o'clock. We have
11.
Sorry, 11 o'clock. We have three more
You're
classic
two for two now.
You know what? You can come back at 10 and you can hang out a while and get some hot chocolate.
I want to know, Roger, when are we going to do a recreation of one of these
You're
shows
the man in charge.
At the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Well, wait a minute. The Museum of Broadcast.
Yeah, we could do it at the Museum of Broadcast.
Let's. But you're the man. You're the one in charge. I'm there for you.
Uh-oh. See? I'm the man in charge.
Roger, do you know what that does to him when you say that?
What?
The man in charge.
Well, he is the man in charge.
Well, I'm trying to think. You know, Roger did a really good impersonation of the Shadow last week.
He sure did.
I was very impressed by that.
Well, thank you.
He did the whole who's on, you know, who knows what right. evil lurks in the hearts mm-hmm. of men and everything. And Sean, what do you want to play? You want to be a bad guy in it, or you want to be a good guy, or what do you want to be in the radio drama?
I would love to be a villain.
A villain, okay. Ooh, so
and he sounds pretty villainy.
Nice. Absolutely.
And then
deep voice.
Lisa will be the announcer.
I'll do it. I'm your yes man.
No, you'll be Margot Lane.
Yes,
yeah.
I would love
right?
to.
And then I'll direct it. I don't
oh,
really
yeah, I bet you will.
I don't want to be on
We
it.
Should do it.
We should. We're all on board, Carl. You're the man in charge.
Roger Badish.
Make it happen.
You need someone to do the live sound effects. You need to bring him in.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, and I'm sure Bruce Dumont over at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, he'd let us do it.
Yeah.
He'd
right.
say, you know.
And it'd be a great promotion for the show and the station, too.
I think we should do this, and Roger will play, we'll get an Orson Welles script. So
we
can
could
play.
Actually even broadcast the show from there. Couldn't we do that? Like a remote broadcast
well,
at
I don't know
the
about,
museum?
Well, at 11 o'clock at night mm-hmm. on us.
No, but we would do is we would do it during the day. We would have listeners come there, and
yeah,
I'll
it would
direct.
Be a live broadcast.
And then, Roger would play the Orson Welles role, and that way I could say, "Oh Welles, that was Roger's performance." Oh Welles, I don't have my thing.
Yeah, and thank goodness you don't, because it doesn't deserve one.
And then
it deserves this sound effect.
Wah, wah, wah.
Snap.
And here's a trivia question. Roger will know the answer to this.
Oh, I won't. Okay,
the actress who played Margot Lane during the Orson Welles era was, she played Endora on Bewitched. You would know that person.
Yeah, I should.
Come on now.
Endora, she was a lot older when she played Endora.
Well, yeah.
The name escapes me, but
Agnes,
you know who it is. Agnes Moorhead.
Agnes Moorhead.
Thank you.
And Lisa, you could play the Agnes Moorhead role.
I would be honored to play the Agnes Moorhead
role. Sean's going to be the villain, and then we'll get a couple more people. We'll get Nick DiGilio. He'll do it. Nick loves doing this kind of stuff.
Let's do it.
And then Elif, yeah. All right, so that's what we're going to do. We'll figure it out, and then we'll invite all our listeners to come to the museum and watch a radio reenactment of the
show. And then
shadow.
You two guys, because you got to have a little bit more, because it's only about, a half an hour show?
Yeah.
20 minutes without the commercials, 25 minutes?
Sure.
You got to have something else. So you two guys do an episode of the Bickersons.
Right. He loves that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. John Amici, Francis Langford.
All right.
That's us.
That's us.
All right.
I mean, that's our natural.
Okay, this is the plan. We'll put it in motion here.
Okay.
All right. We'll put it in motion.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we figured it out. When we come back here tonight at 11 p.m., we have three more classic radio shows. They are
The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, like I said.
Yeah.
The Great Gildersleeve, like I said. And The Sealed Book.
You were right, as always.
Of course.
So good job, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
That's what we have tonight when we come back here for our Sunday night program.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Right now, we're listening to the Jack Benny program. Let's go back to April 27th, 1947, for the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
That was very, very good, Dennis. That's a nice song.
Say, boss, don't you think there's a place for me to sing a song on your stage show?
No, no, Rochester. When we're in the theater, I want you to do just the part I gave you. Have you been rehearsing it?
Yeah, all week.
Well, let's hear it.
Peanuts, popcorn, and candy. Peanuts, popcorn, and walking and penance.
Very good, Rochester. Very good. Remember what I told you. Never change a $5 bill unless you take it out to the light. You remember?
Mr. Benny, what are you going to do on the show?
Oh, I'm going to do everything, kid. You know, master of ceremonies, a solo on the violin. And for the first time in my career, I'm going to do a tap dance. One of those old-fashioned tap dances where you put sand on the floor.
Oh, Jack, that's corny.
It is not. Rochester, where's that little box of sand? There, there. Now, dump it on the floor.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll practice my tap dance. Dennis, help me out by humming Swanee River, will you?
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da-dee-da-da. Dee-da-da-da.
Fred Astaire should see me.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-dee-da-da.
Come in. Hiya, Jackson. Hello, kid.
Phil, come on in here.
Yeah, what are you doing, Jackson? Kind of looking over some of the old routines, huh? So we can...
Holy smoke, who put that sand on the floor?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Phil. Let us help you out.
No, no, Jackson.
Phil, let us pick you up. It won't be the first time. Come on,
leave me alone. I'll do it myself. The last time somebody helped me up, they bumped my head on the curb.
All right, have it your own way. Anyway, I'm busy rehearsing for the show, you know.
Say, Jack, when do we arrive in Chicago?
Watch for the day, the 7th of May. And our show opens at the Chicago Theater on the 9th. Now, Phil, have you thought about your act for the stage show?
Don't worry about me, Jackson. Don't worry. After the dull stuff you're going to do, I'll walk out and throw that Harris smile on them and melt the butter on their popcorn.
What?
And then I'll hit them with 30 or 40 courses of That's What I Like About the South.
30 or 40 choruses?
Well, I haven't got time to give it all to them.
Phil, you wouldn't have the nerve to walk out in front of an audience and sing that song.
He wouldn't, eh? What about the time he went to Tommy Manville's wedding and sang Thanks for the Memory?
I guess you're right, Mary.
You can say what you like, Livy, but I know what I'm doing. As a matter of fact, when I play a theater, I make them take the bulbs out of the marquee and put my picture up there.
Your picture? Why don't you let them put your name up there?
I don't trust nobody. How do I know what they're spelling?
Oh, Oh, yes, yes. I never thought of that.
You know something, Jackson? I got to get that billing that I deserve. I'm a great comedian.
Oh, fine. Some great comedian. He's got two shows on NBC, and he hasn't been cut off the air once. You know, I need you like a moose needs a hat rack. I can't understand why that didn't get a laugh. 3 weeks I've been doing it. It's never gotten a laugh. Norman Krasner loved it. Anyway, kids, it'll be a lot of fun going to... Be a lot of fun going to Chicago, New York, but I'm going to miss the gang here in Beverly Hills. You know, all my friends and the Ronald Colemans next door. Incidentally, they're coming to our broadcast today. I sent them two tickets.
Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie, where are you?
I'm here in the library, Benita.
There you are. What are you doing?
Just reading. Ah, this is marvelous. Just wonderful. And so true, too.
Oh, put away those reviews on the late George Apley.
All right, darling, but I haven't read them yet today.
Oh, darling, I meant to tell you, Mr. Benny was over, and he left a pair of tickets for us for his broadcast.
Look, I wouldn't go to Benny's broadcast if I were the guest star. By the way, when did he leave the tickets?
When he borrowed your full dress suit.
My full dress suit? When will that man stop? Next thing we know, he'll be wanting to borrow our piano.
Oh, Ronnie, look in the living room.
No, no, this is too much. That man drives me mad. If he hadn't borrowed my razor, I'd go upstairs and cut my throat.
No, no, please don't. He's got our band-aids, too.
How do you like that?
Well, calm down, calm down. We will have a bit of a vacation soon. Mr. Benny's going away on a vaudeville tour.
Vaudeville tour? Well, what in the world could Benny do on the stage?
Play the violin, I suppose.
What do you mean that... People will pay money to hear Benny play the violin.
Yes.
Huh. Say, Benita, let's you and I go out and join Spike Jones.
Don't be so silly. Darling, pass me an apple, will you? I feel a bit hungry.
There you are.
Thank you. You know, in his vaudeville act, Mr. Benny will have Manchester and also Mr. Harris.
Phil Harris?
Uh-huh.
Benita, have you ever seen any of Phil Harris's musicians?
Please, Ronnie, I'm eating.
Experiences since we moved here. You remember the afternoon when we thought there was an eclipse? And then we found that Don Wilson had walked between our house and the sun.
Oh, yes. What strange people. Oh, and darling, I meant to ask you about Dennis Day. Is he really Irish?
Irish? He thinks that when you die, you go to Dlacamora and Barry Fitzgerald lets you in.
One normal person in the whole crew.
There is?
Yes. Well, haven't you ever noticed Mary Livingston?
Well, my dear, you've got to admit that Miss Livingston is pretty, and when she stands alongside of one of the... I'll get it. Hello? Oh, Jack Benny, we were just talking about you. Yes, I know we have tickets to your broadcast today, but I'm afraid we were... Yeah, I realize that, Jack, but I know, Jack, but But that's all very well, Jack, but it just so happens that today we thought we'd stay at home.
Well, Ronnie, you know I hate to brag, but all of my programs have been very good, and today's going to be one of the best, and you're lucky to be able to get some tickets because it's very hard to get. If you don't want them, there'll be plenty of other customers. I mean, people will be glad to use the tickets, so I won't take no for an answer, Ronnie. I'll even drive you down in my cars. It'll be ready in 5 minutes. Goodbye. Well, kids, we're going to have some very famous people in our audience today, Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. And they insist that I drive them to the studio. Rochester, get the car ready.
Don't you want me to shave you first?
No, no, I've already shaved.
How come so early, boys?
Well, now that daylight saving time is here, I get my 5 o'clock shadow at 4. Now, look, kids, today let's try to do the best show we ever did.
Oh, Jack, stop worrying.
Don, and my quartet, too. We better get going to the studio now. I got to pick up the Coleman.
Well, I can take the sportsman and Dennis in my car.
Good, good. Mary, you come with me.
Jack, please hurry. Benita and I are waiting.
Oh, Ronnie, I'll be right... Dennis, stop! Now, let's get going. Come on, Rochester, get the car.
Nita, riding in this car is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me.
I know how you feel. Look at all that dirt on the floor.
I don't mind the dirt, but the weeds are so high.
Do you want to change places with me?
I can't. My pants are caught on the springs. Anyway, I'm glad we're going down this side street so nobody sees us.
Are you folks comfortable back there?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, frankly, I find it a little drafty.
Drafty? Well, we'll fix that. Rochester, stop the car and put up the curtain.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, don't bother. It'll be all right.
Are you comfortable, Jack?
Sure, why?
I thought you'd be a little cramped up there with the meter.
Oh, stop with that.
Say, Jack, is this an English car?
An English car?
Yeah, I noticed the steering wheel is on the right.
Oh, no, it's just bent that way.
Oh, I see an accident on Hollywood Boulevard.
No, a struggle on Mulholland Drive.
Rochester, now don't drive so fast because... Oh, look, there's Greer Garson. Hello, Greer. Look, she's waving at us. How are you, Greer? Goodbye, Greer.
Benita, you and Ronnie can sit up again. We've passed her.
Thank you, Mary. Jack, do we have to go so fast? There's an awful wind back here.
There is?
Yes, Benita. It's lucky you brought your muff with you.
My muff?
Yes, right there on your arm.
Yeah, Mr. Benny, this must have blown off your head.
Oh, thanks.
By the way, Jack, is this car the Maxwell you used to talk so much about?
No, Ronnie. During the war, I gave my Maxwell to the scrap drive.
Oh, yes, and this is what they gave you in return?
Well, no, you see... Rochester, there's a red light.
I see it!
We made it, Ronnie. You can put your rabbit's foot away now.
You know, folks, I think that...
Oh, Mr. Benny, may I have your autograph, please?
Why, certainly, of course. There you are.
And you're Mary Livingston, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And, oh, my goodness, this is a surprise. You are...
Mr. and Mrs. Herman Schlagelmeier.
I thought you were Roy Rogers.
Rochester, the light's green now.
Yes, sir.
Hurry, Rochester, start the car. We're holding up traffic.
Jack,
it's only the motor.
I wasn't frightened. I was thrown.
We're going to save Rochester. Start the car. We're holding up everybody. I can't understand why it acts like this. I've done everything for this motor.
Have you had it vaccinated for whooping cough?
Rochester, try it again. Ronnie, Benita, would you mind getting out and helping us push?
Get out and push! Mr. Benny, let me explain something to you. I didn't want to go to your broadcast. I didn't want to ride in your car. And as far as I'm concerned,
oh, darling,
if I never...
look, we're stalled right in front of Grandma's Chinese where they're showing the Lake George Apley.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go!
Well, the least he could do is come back and pick up the door. Come on, Mary, let's push. I want to take just a moment to tell all of our friends in Texas and New Orleans that we're leaving by plane tonight and we'll be with you in Galveston on Monday, Houston on Tuesday, and New Orleans on Wednesday to put on shows to raise money for the relief of the Texas City victims. I know you'll all give this your full support. Thank you very much.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
I guess no NBC chimes on that, but a good broadcast of the Jack Benny program from April 27, 1947. Jack Benny, all his gang, including Dennis Day, Don Wilson, Mary Livingston, Mel Blanc, doing an amazing job as the stuttering car there, the Maxwell car, and then Eddie Rochester Anderson and Ronald and Benita Coleman as the guest stars on this episode of the Jack Benny program. We hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, speaking of the Oscars, what's winning the best picture of the year?
Well, they're predicting La La Land.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it, but I wouldn't say it's the best picture of the year. That's my personal opinion.
I did not see it.
And you're not going to see
not
it.
Not going to ever see it.
I saw a movie tonight that I
loved.
So
let's talk to a real man. Sean's a real man. Sean,
what?
You didn't see La La Land, did you, my friend?
First of all, I thank you for calling me a real
you
man.
You are a real man.
As opposed to a fake one? What's the other option?
I guess one so. Of my chopped liver.
Well, I was going to ask you next.
Okay, you can ask me next.
No, I have not seen La La Land.
For some reason, no offense, because there's a lot of real men out there that like musicals. I just can't get into seeing a movie like La La Land.
You don't like the musical type?
No, I don't like musicals.
You know,
really
my husband saw it, and he enjoyed it.
Well,
he went
and
with
I have
me.
A lot of respect for Dan. I really do. Roger, did you see La La Land?
Yeah, saw it with Bridget. We watched it at home.
Uh-huh.
I was aware of all the hype. No, I was aware of all the hype before it, and
right.
so I was expecting a lot.
Yeah, I felt
and
that is exactly
done,
how I felt, Roger.
Yeah, and we got done watching it, and we looked at each other, and we go, it was all right.
Well, you know,
that's how I thought. I mean, it was nice. I enjoyed it. It was fun, but it's not the kind that, like, sticks with your ribs. You know, you just don't.
It, well, he wrote it against the traditional style of a movie musical.
Right, and that's the lure.
I'm trying to think
if there's ever been a musical that I've watched and actually liked. I mean.
What?
Yeah.
He's not a
West
musical
West Side Story?
Guy.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, my goodness.
West Side Story's okay. You know what? I got a musical.
Oh,
hang on.
I got one.
I just thought of one.
Okay.
Grease.
Yes.
Loved Grease. That's a fantastic movie musical.
Okay, you want to know
the
which
best one,
you know
ever?
One
I think.
Started
really
here
like?
In Chicago as a stage play.
Ah,
yep.
Yeah,
you want to know which one I really like?
What?
I like Next to Normal.
What's
next
that?
To Normal, because it's a very
you are sitting next to Normal.
I know you're not even next to it. You are so far away from it. But in any event, speaking of the Oscars,
yes,
and the reason we brought that up,
yeah, that's right,
is here's our interesting conversation. Dan Jaffe, who normally comes the last Sunday of every month to choose a winner for our entire year of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, will not be here tonight, which is Sunday night, because he is attending
the Oscars. Yeah.
So he's a lucky guy, and instead he will be showing up here the next Sunday, 1 week later. So everybody has one extra week to send in their pictures of their cats to win an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter. So we want to remind you, send in a picture of your cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com. If you've sent it in the past, please send it in again. We renew this every single month. So please don't be shy. Send it in again. We love to see your pictures. And we hope that you could be a lucky winner. A year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter is really a spectacular gift for anybody who has a cat.
Right. And when you send that picture in, make sure you put your name, your cat's name, and your city and state. Send the picture to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And then all of those pictures get put into a sort of like a duffel bag, right? And Dan reaches in there and pulls one out. And there it is. That's the winner. So that could be you, folks.
Yeah, we're very high tech around here.
Very high tech, yeah. We have a drum roll, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. So send that in, and then not tomorrow, but next Sunday, Dan will pick the February winner.
Right.
Yeah.
We're, you know, a week behind. Nothing new around here.
No big deal. All right. So it's, it's 1 o'clock in the morning already.
Must be time for
Wow. When we come back, it's Have Gun, Will Travel. I promise you. All right, it is 5 minutes after the 1 a.m. hour on a Sunday night.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Oh, my gosh, Carl.
Well, it's look outside.
It's still nighttime outside.
Hey, look
it
out
is.
There. It looks nighttime.
It's barren outside. It's just way too cold.
It was cold.
Nobody's walking around
like
tonight.
Like a week ago, it was 40 degrees warmer outside.
Warmer.
Because today it was 25. And it was like 65 a week ago.
Well, I was not here. I think I brought the cold weather back with me or something.
Right.
Wow.
That could be.
That must be.
As long as you bring me a cake from the Ritz-Carlton.
I'm going to bake you a cake.
No.
Yes, I am.
Roger, have you ever had the cake?
So ungracious.
At the Ritz-Carlton?
It's like a double, triple chocolate cake.
Sounds delicious.
Roger, you
Steve
had it with
Demma,
us.
One
we
of
invited
our,
you here.
When
was
that?
One of our listeners.
At the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
He was
yeah,
here.
A long
he
time
tasted
ago.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
Steve
well,
Demma,
I'm on a
who
diet now,
he used to work at
too.
The Ritz. He doesn't work there anymore.
I know that.
So work at the Ritz-Carlton. He brought us that cake.
He was a security guard there.
And I have been jonesing for that cake for almost 2 years.
It's true.
No, was it?
It was right at the beginning when we first started. And we're
so I'm hoping.
We're almost at our 2 year anniversary.
I'm hoping we're bringing enough publicity to that cake and the Ritz-Carlton. That
you're hoping someone there will
someone
hear
over
it
there will hear it.
I'm, you know, feeling a little perturbed because here I am offering to put my love and time into baking something. And I'm just getting thrown in the garbage here.
Bake some chocolate chip cookies. You can't mess that up. It's pretty simple.
I said cake.
Wait a minute. You can't mess that up.
Can't mess that up. Even I can bake chocolate chip cookies, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's pretty hard.
Yeah, you just break them apart. Right. You break them up and you throw them in the oven.
Yeah,
can't mess it up, right? You break them apart.
Well, you can, Carl, he'll
forget to turn the oven on.
You could burn them.
I could burn them. I undercook them. I like them really gooey inside.
Oh, do you?
I usually undercook everything.
Really?
So it's really like mushy inside. Soft.
Lisa, I would love a cake from you.
Okay, Roger.
But it has to be dietetic.
Oh,
because
gosh.
I'm trying to lose weight.
I watch too.
Hey, Roger, are there a lot of
stuff.
Hospitals around where you live?
Oh, my gosh.
So
I have a hotline. I have a red phone at home.
All right. This hour, we're going to tune into Have Gun, Will Travel, starring John Daner as Paladin, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor reprises his role in the upcoming science fiction film Blade Runner 2049. It's a sequel to the 1982
Are you
film
serious? This guy,
Blade Runner.
This guy is going to be in this Blade Runner movie?
Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, this guy needs to stop flying his plane,
That's
too.
Right. You're giving it away.
I will tell you that much.
You're giving it
Here's
away.
Here's a hint. Here's a hint, mister. Stop flying your own planes.
I'm with you on that.
All right.
And the winner gets a Twilight Zone 4 CD set hosted by Mr. Stacy Keach.
All right, here's a hint. This actor, many, many moons ago, was the star of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, the actual Ten Commandments, the original stone tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Horeb and smashed, if you believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you, it's called United Airlines. Get tickets to United next time you want to fly. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
And we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that clip one more time.
Yes, the actual Ten Commandments, the original stone tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Horeb and smashed, if you believe in that sort of thing.
And let's talk to Chris on the line from Chicago. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not bad.
Great, great. Can you tell me who that actor is?
Yep, that would be Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is exactly right.
He should
right.
be driving a Ford.
He should be driving a Ford instead of his airplane,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll say.
Good one, Carl.
He's had like 12 plane crashes.
Somehow he's still alive.
Like,
I don't know.
Broke his back and he's...
12 crashes later.
He just recently,
recently
almost
yeah.
caused a major catastrophe landing on the wrong runway when a plane, a big plane... was trying to take off.
I don't know how he's still alive. He's got 9 lives. But in any event, Chris, we're so happy to give you a Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It's great. I hope you love the Twilight Zone. I know we all love it here. And it's hosted by Stacy Keach, and it's terrific.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate
Fantastic.
It.
Buddy.
Thank you.
All right, enjoy those. And thanks for staying up with us.
Yes.
And congrats for winning. It's time now for Have Gun Will Travel. This is one of the best westerns on the radio, but it started as a television show. One of the only radio shows that first started as a TV show, then migrated to radio. As you know, most of these radio shows made the transition. This did the opposite, along with My Little Margie was the other one. And it began as a TV show in 1957, moved to radio in 1958. Richard Boone on TV, John Daner on radio, Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek. He wrote 24 of the episodes. He was
of
an
the
early...
radio episodes? Yeah.
Yeah, and also TV.
Oh.
What happened was he was a writer for the radio, and then they, of course, hired him to do some TV shows as well. This is a great series. I love the TV shows, and the radio shows are just as good. Many of the radio shows were also broadcast on TV, vice versa. John Daner stars in this, a program called The 5 Books of Owen Deaver. It's from March 22nd, 1959, part one now of Have Gun, Will Travel.
In a few minutes, mister, this town will be owned by a band of renegades. And you'll be dead. Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
I thought you'd never get down, hey boy.
Oh, it was a big job, Mr. Paladin.
Let's hurry. The stage is ready to leave. The driver promised to wait for me.
Why you want so many things in one suitcase? Make my job easier if you take 2 suitcases.
It's easier for me when I only have 1 bag to carry on a long trip. Oh, give me the bag. I'll take it from here. There's no need for you to get wet. Goodbye, hey boy.
Goodbye, Mr. Paladin. Mr. Paladin.
Huh? I'm terribly sorry. Here, let me help you up. Please, forgive me, please. Are you hurt?
My dress, it's soaking.
This is terrible.
You've ruined my dress.
Please, I'll buy you another dress. I'm catching the stage and they're ready to pull out. I must go, but I'll be back in about 10 days. I'll take care of it then. I'll buy you another dress. Oh, here's my card. I'm registered at the hotel.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Wire Paladin. San Francisco.
WGN
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
I looked forward to this trip to North Fork, not because of the job there, which turned out to be routine, uneventful, but because it would give me the opportunity to visit some old friends of mine in Three Winds on my way home, Sheriff Barry Deaver and his wife. The 20-mile ride from North Fork through sand dunes, buttes, and low hills led me to an unusually quiet Three Winds. The one saloon in town was quiet, too.
What'll it be, mister?
Whiskey.
If you're going to be in town for a while, you better check that gun in with the sheriff.
Against the law to wear a gun in Three Winds?
He sure is. Sheriff Deaver's the only one who can carry a firearm in this town. Hmm.
Sheriff Deaver has changed his laws since I was here last. Something new?
6 months new.
Well, I'm on my way over to Deaver's office. I'll turn it in then if need be. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah? You from Philadelphia?
No. California.
I didn't think you looked like an Easterner. I thought the only friends Owen Deaver had left lived in Philadelphia.
Owen? No, I'm a friend of Owen's father.
Oh, well, didn't you hear? Old Barry's dead.
Dead? Barry Deaver?
Yeah, last fall. Died of consumption. Owen came back from law school in Philadelphia and took over as sheriff. Uh-oh. There's going to be trouble for sure.
Why, it's just a couple of raunchy cowboys.
Yeah, but Deaver will arrest them. He didn't allow no shooting in town.
Yeah, look here, French. One customer in this saloon on a Saturday afternoon.
Hey, what time do the girls come in, Whiskey Man?
No girls allowed in this saloon.
No girls?
City law.
Didn't know we was in a city. Only seen one saloon. Takes two to make a city, don't it?
Don't matter, French. We'll go up to North Fork. Plenty of girls up there.
Now, we gotta have a drink first. Bring us two bottles. One for me and one for Mason here.
I can't sell it by the bottle. Only four drinks to a customer. It's the law.
What kind of law are you talking about?
My law. The law of Three Winds.
Well, I didn't know this town was big enough to have a sheriff.
The law says four drinks to a person is the quota for a day. Same law says all guns must be turned into my office when you arrive in Three Winds.
Now, what is
that? I'll give them back to you when you leave.
Don't you think you ought to let law-abiding people keep their guns to defend themselves with?
I defend law-abiding people in this town. They don't have to carry guns.
As long as we get them back, I'll go along with your ordinance, Sheriff.
Lay it on the table. All right, you men, I'm waiting.
Mason?
Do what he says.
Yeah. There ain't no use arguing with a load of turkeys shot.
They'll be at my office when you leave town.
Watch it, Sheriff.
My hand. You shot my head.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
You can lock him up, Sheriff. He just tried to throw a knife in your back.
You ruined my hand.
Thanks for saving my life. But I'll have to take you in, too.
For what?
For concealing that derringer. You should have turned it in with the other gun. Hand it over.
Look, if I hadn't kept the derringer, you would have been killed.
The law still stands. You'll spend a week in jail.
What about me? What about my hand?
You'll live, but you'll be in lockup till the judge comes through here. Then you'll be tried for attempted murder.
You taking me to jail, too?
No. You'll get out of town. If I ever see you back here again, I'll put you in jail for a year for trespassing. This town's out of limits to you because you've been associated with a murderer.
Well, now, ain't you tall? That shotgun sure makes you something I never heard of before.
Get out of here.
I'm going. But I'll see you again, mister.
What kind of rules are you laying down in this town, Deaver?
Rules that respectful citizens expect from their sheriff.
But don't you know if you disarm everyone who comes to Three Winds, you're waving a red flag in front of every gunfighter who thinks he's bigger than the law?
As long as I'm sheriff, there's no one bigger than the law in Three Winds. Let's go.
When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
Have you, Lisa?
A Pepsi?
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
I'm trying to get off of that.
Be sociable. Be smart. Have a Pepsi. And be debonair.
That's good, Carl.
I like how they did these jingly. You know, these people, these gals, like that girl right there, that was her job. She
That's
was a singing.
Great job.
She would come to the radio
she does
station.
The jingles.
She got paid. You know, it was a union gig. And she'd sing a song for Pepsi.
It's a great job.
Not bad, right?
Well, somebody else wrote the music.
Not bad. It's a nice gig.
And sings it.
And then, and then she'd go to NBC and do it over there and go to Mutual and do it over there. Yeah.
They only had one jingle singer for all the networks.
I'm just saying, she was doing the Pepsi jingles there. I like these commercials on this Have Gun Will Trade. Did you hear the one earlier for Fitch? He was like, you rub the shampoo into your hair. No water yet. You just rub the shampoo into your hair, and then you massage some water into it, and then you rinse.
Isn't that how you normally do it?
What are you talking about?
Don't you ever wash your hair?
Yeah.
Isn't that how you
wash my hair, but I have wet hair before I put the shampoo in there.
Get out.
Yeah. Everybody complains that I give you a hard time. She gives me a hard time too, Sean. You know? Don't you think?
Sean.
I think it's pretty even.
Yeah, it is.
He's so,
you know,
so diplomatic.
What people don't realize is Lisa and I are best friends. We are the best friends. You should see how many times she called me from Florida, this girl. She's out in Florida.
She was teasing you?
She called me like 12 times a day
because
from Florida.
I'm responding to his text. He always texts me and says, call me. Call me. Like, I feel like it's going to be some emergency or something.
Like,
and I'd be like, what are you
doing?
You
know, Blondie, call me.
Call me. Call me.
Call me.
Yeah. So I always feel like there's some emergency that I need to know. And
Lisa,
be like, hey, having
Lisa,
fun?
Call me. Well, you're like my Ann Landers.
Call me.
She helps me with, you know.
Life.
What did he want you to call him?
Well, yeah, exactly. Just general conversation.
We tease each other on the air, but it's all in fun. All in fun.
Most people understand. Like, every now and then, people are confused
by that. Lisa really isn't a good cook, but I tease her about it on the air. But she knows, like, I would eat something you made.
Are you sure?
I would have a doctor.
Inspect it first.
You know, on my speed dial. That's all.
Oh, okay.
That's all, Lisa.
I understand.
But I would eat it.
Really?
Yeah.
I understand.
The one time Lisa invited me over to her house, I thought,
you've been in my house twice.
Oh, well, yeah. But it was a social. The second time was like a work thing.
It was pretty social.
She's like, oh, you know, come over and, make sure you're hungry. I come over and she orders Chinese.
Just to be clear, I offered to make Italian because I know that's your favorite.
No,
and you said, no, order in.
No, that's like saying, let's go to Olive Garden.
What's wrong with Olive Garden?
Olive Garden's pretty good.
It's good.
Wait a minute here. Hang on a second.
I mean,
We're not trying to be disrespectful to your classical Italian cuisine.
Now, wait a second, Sean. Come on now.
Uh-oh.
Now, Olive Garden.
I'm getting nervous here,
Roger. You can't be going to Olive Garden if you want real Italian
food.
They
have all-you-can-eat breakfast.
I'm a soup and salad guy from Olive Garden.
All right,
with the breadsticks. So.
Right. Okay. Good salad.
No, hang on a second. What you just said is absolutely true. I agree with you 100%. They have good soup and salad. I'm sorry. I don't want to start like a war with Olive Garden, but that's not – I don't like the – I'm Italian. I mean
– Are you sure? Because they're thinking of being our sponsor.
No, they're not going to be. They're not going to be a sponsor for this show.
Too much pepper.
But, yeah. But anyway, Lisa –
Yes,
that's
Carl.
That's what I got to eat at Lisa's house.
And was it delicious?
It was actually very good.
Okay, then.
Very good Chinese.
Okay, then we're all good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks, Roger.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
And thanks, Bill Curtis. And thanks, Sean. And thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Carl.
And I want to thank all of our listeners. And as a thank you, we offer you 52 classic radio shows every single year. That means in year two, you'd have 104.
That's quick.
Year three, you'd have 156.
Right.
Huh?
That's it.
All right, that's
that,
it.
That's it. Yeah, that's
no,
good.
I'm not gonna. You know, hey, listen, three for three there. I'm not going to risk this. But you can get 52 classic radio shows every year just by going to freeradioclassics.com and put your name and your email address. You'll get a confirmation email. Click that, and then you'll start getting an email from me every Monday. And in that email will be a classic radio show embedded in the email. You just click it and listen to it. You can Bluetooth it to your car or any listening device. Also in the email is a picture of the star who's in that radio show. So if it's Our Miss Brooks, there'll be a picture of Eve Arden. And a lot of times, they're right there performing on the series. So there's would be a picture of Eve Arden in front of the CBS microphone performing Our Miss Brooks. So we have a lot of great pictures, thousands and thousands of pictures. And, you know, Dragnet, it would be Jack Webb and so on and so forth. So just go to freeradioclassics.com and sign up. Get 52 classic radio shows emailed to you, one a week, every Monday. Lisa does it. Roger does it. I know Roger likes it. He listens to the shows.
I love it.
Yeah.
I listen to
them,
too.
And the quality is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Just like the quality that we put on the show.
That's right. They're all digitally remastered.
I like the specials. You sometimes have neat specials down a little further down on the page that you get in the email. There's some specials further down.
Yeah.
Past the link to the audio clip. So
these are all for our listeners, thanking them for being just what they are, loyal listeners to the program, staying up late. I mean, we're on late. We're on 11 to 2 o'clock in the morning. This isn't easy to stay up this late.
I know.
Lisa's snoring in the corner over there, sawing logs over there. I got to give her a – Lisa, come on. It's time to go back on the air.
Wait,
all the time.
What?
Huh? She's like
– What? Yeah.
You hear how loud she snores, Sean?
Look what he's doing to me.
Sean had no idea.
Look what he is doing to
me. She looks so dainty, doesn't she?
Look what he does to me.
But then, in the corner over there.
I can hear it all the way up on the seventh floor with no microphone.
Yeah, she brings a sleeping bag.
The building vibrates.
Yeah, I've got my pillow.
Sleeping bag.
I may as well take a little
snooze. Her eye mask.
I don't like an eye mask. You're the one that likes an eye mask.
Do you have a retainer?
I have Invisalign.
Yeah.
It's very attractive.
You know?
I wear it when I sleep.
Do you have a binky?
No.
When you sleep? No?
No. I like to cuddle with a pillow, though.
Like a body pillow?
Yeah, it's not really, but I kind of use it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish our listeners could actually see Carl. Like he picks on you and then he goes
into the
can see him with his hands up and the little innocent face like I didn't do anything.
I'm blushing.
Come on, I didn't do anything.
Look what he does to me.
It's all Lisa.
It's all I know, I'm pretty rough on you, aren't I?
Oh, my gosh. All right, Have Gun, Will Travel, the conclusion now of the 5 books starring John Daner.
All right, get in there. Deaver, you better get some bandages for this man's hand.
I need a doctor, that's what I need. Or does the law allow a prisoner to have a doctor?
We'll get you fixed up. Ma!
Got a couple of new prisoners. One of them needs a doctor.
You're a fool. A two-headed fool. Shooting that knife out of my hand. You got your brains in your feet. I'll never forget what you did, mister.
We could have both been free if you hadn't butted in.
You talk too much, Enfield.
How do you know my name?
Didn't take much to figure you're one of the Enfield brothers and that the kid named French is a member of your gang.
Well, we must be getting famous when tin horns like you know who we are. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be mighty miserable for you when my brothers come back to get me out of here. You wish you'd never heard of the Enfield gang.
Oh, and I don't know why you have to arrest every stranger who walks into this town. I ain't nursing, I'm cooking, and if I... Paladin!
Hello, Ma.
Paladin, bless the stars in heaven, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too,
Well,
Ma.
How long's it been? A year? Year and a half?
Oh, no, almost two now.
Oh, and you never met Paladin, did you?
No.
You was away in school, and son. He helped your pa round up the orneriest, wildest bunch of gunfighters you ever seen. It was the Barton brothers, wasn't it, Paladin?
That's right.
Well, what brings you back to Three Wit? Paladin, what are you doing behind those bars? Owen, how come Paladin's in jail?
Well, Ma,
Did you arrest him, Owen Deaver?
Yes, I did.
Well, you just get him out of there right this minute, do you hear?
I can't do that. He violated the law.
Violated the law? Now, just who do you think you are arresting a man like this? I'll turn him loose. Turn Paladin loose, or so help me, I'll take a paddle and beat you to a blister.
That's all right, Ma.
Well, it ain't all right neither.
Now that Owen knows that I'm a friend of the family, he and I can talk this out. We can talk as much as you like, Paladin, but you're going to stay in jail for a week. It's the law.
For a week? For what?
For concealing a firearm and not turning it in.
There you go again, with another one of your stupid ordinances. Now, what's going to come of all your foolishness, Owen?
The law is the...
The law is the law. Listen to him, Paladin. We let him go to Philadelphia to study, and what does he bring back? 5 books, that's all. Those 5 books over there on his desk. The Municipal Code of Philadelphia. And he's been beating the town over the head with them ever since he come back. The ranch hands won't come into town anymore because he won't even let them spit in the street. Why, it's come to the place where nobody's even got any respect for the name of Deaver.
Ma, I don't hold any offense against him. If this is the law of Three Winds, I want to abide by it. We'll talk it out later. Now, you give me those bandages, and I'll take care of this man's hand for you.
Yeah, all right. I guess there ain't no use arguing with you. Or with Owen either, for that matter.
He's a man of principle and strong will. I'd say he takes after his ma.
Ah, go on with your foolishness. I'm going to start your supper.
There goes a fine woman, Owen. You ought to be proud of her.
I am. She doesn't realize the ways of the old frontier towns are gone.
Are they?
You're going to stand there and talk all day. My hand ain't getting any better.
Owen, have you heard of the Enfield gang?
Enfields? Yeah, I got a circular on them just the other day. It's in my desk somewhere.
This man is Mason Enfield. His partner in the saloon was another member of the gang, the one they call French.
Are you sure?
He's lying, Sheriff. Never even heard of the Enfield gang.
I'll see if I can find the circular.
Now here's the bandage. Hold out your hand now. Let's see what we can do.
Thanks, Rabbit Head. It's a good thing my left hand's in good shape.
What's the matter, Paladin? Why did you hit him?
Because he tried to hit me. Guess he didn't want me to tell you who he was.
Ah, you are right. His picture's here on the circular with the others. And here's the one that was in the saloon with him, French.
Well, French will bring the others back here to get Mason out. 3 more of them, Owen. And they'll shoot this town up and drag the jail down the middle of the street. You're going to need help. Let me out of here.
No.
Owen, I helped your father once. You and I could nail the Enfield gang.
I won't let you out, Paladin. I'll round up a few deputies. We'll be ready for the Enfields when they get here.
I hope you are, Owen. Because there's a lot that could go wrong.
There goes a treasure car. There goes another. And another. And one of them may be your car. Yes, folks, you may have a Fram treasure hunt filter in your car worth $1,000 and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. A filter change is important to today's cars, so important that Fram Corporation, in conjunction with its silver anniversary, is paying $60,000 in cash to get you to check your filters now. Last year, 10,000 secretly numbered Fram filters were distributed all over the United States and installed in cars during regular servicing. These filters are worth from $1 to $1,000. You may have one in your car and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. Check your oil filter and air filter now. If there's a specially numbered Fram filter in your car, you will win up to 1,000 silver dollars and your dealer will win the same amount. Get in on Fram's big silver treasure hunt. Check your car filters now.
Owen Deaver, stubborn when it came to upholding his new laws, was inherently a kind-hearted man. He was considerate enough to move me to another cell, which allowed me a decent night's sleep away from Mason Enfield. Next morning, Ma Deaver let me out to have breakfast with her in the kitchen. Owen was out trying to round up some deputies.
Paladin, what am I going to do about Owen and his crazy books?
He's still young. He'll learn in time if he doesn't get killed first.
You think they'll come, the Enfields?
They'll come.
Yeah, Owen knows how to fight. Mr. Deaver taught him. How to shoot a gun, use his fists, everything. He can hold his own when it comes to fighting. But he never learned the good judgment his father had.
He's a rare youngster who learns wisdom from his parents. It usually comes self-taught through experience.
Did you have any luck, Owen?
No, Violet. What are you doing out of your cell, Paladin?
I let him out.
He's under arrest. Don't you ever let him out again.
What'll you do? Arrest me?
Get back inside, Paladin.
All right, Owen.
Instead of putting him back in jail, why don't you deputize him? He's a friend.
He's also a prisoner. Get in there.
Owen, when your father ran this office, he wasn't afraid to take advice. Not even from a woman.
I'm not Pa. I don't try to be.
You couldn't be. He was respected and well-liked.
Well, why shouldn't he be well-liked? He never stepped on anyone's toes.
He didn't have to. And he didn't need these five books to tell him what was right or wrong.
She's right, Owen.
Now, don't you start in on me, Paladin. What's the matter with everyone? Why can't they understand what I'm trying to do here?
What made you choose the Philadelphia ordinances for Three Winds?
Because they're good ones. I like living in a city guided by laws like these.
But this isn't Philadelphia. There's no mayor here, no town council. All you have is a sheriff and a judge who comes through once a month. It's the sheriff who must decide what's right and what's best for his town.
Yeah, and if the sheriff gets up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, everything's a crime that day. But if he wakes up feeling good, nothing's illegal. That's why we've got to have a legal written code to live by.
I'm not arguing against that principle, but don't you think that you should write your own code? One that fits your town?
Owen, they're out there.
Who's out there?
The Enfields, out front. I saw them through the curtains. Two men are behind a wagon across the street. And the other one's at the side of the house.
They're waiting for you to come out the front door.
I'll go out the back door and around the side.
You won't have a chance against three killers. Let me go with you.
No.
Ma, get my gun and go with him. Go ahead. You know how to pull a trigger.
You want to get her killed?
Well, I'm not going to stand by and let them come in here and shoot us after you get killed.
There's nothing you can do.
I can draw their fire, give you a better chance.
They'll kill you, don't you understand?
Who's going with you, Owen, your mother or me?
All right, Paladin, you win.
Get my gun, Ma.
Sure.
Owen, there's a flat roof over the jail. Is there any way we can get up on top without making too much noise?
Yeah, through the kitchen. There's a ladder just outside the back door. Yeah.
Here's your gun.
Thanks, Ma. Let's go. Get out.
There's another one out there.
Yeah. Yeah, either that or the man on the side of the building came around back.
What'll we do?
Go up to the front window and open fire on the two up on the wagon. I'll try to get this man back here.
How?
I'll stay down on the floor and open the door to draw his fire. Now go on, hurry.
All right. Did you kill him?
Yeah. Yeah, he made a good target standing up at the rain barrel. He should have crouched behind it.
You think these two by the wagon are the only ones left?
Uh-huh. Now, you take anything on the right.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the left. As soon as one of them raises up to shoot... You got him. You know how to use a rifle.
I had a good teacher. Oh, there goes the other.
He's down. Come on.
Both of them are dead. You're pretty good with a six-gun.
I had some experience with the same teacher you did.
My pa was a man you could learn a lot from.
Yeah. I remember something else I learned from him the last time I was here. It was something he said.
What was that?
That one man doesn't have the right to say what's good for all men. The lawman doesn't try to dictate the will of the people. He reflects it.
Paladin, you know anyone might be interested in buying some books?
Oh, I wouldn't sell those books, Owen. Just put them away for a while. Who knows, someday, Three Winds might have a mayor, town council, or even sidewalks.
Yeah, maybe so.
Come on, we gotta dig some graves.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I knew you come in on the stage tonight. I make bet on it.
Well, don't ever make bets on when I'll be returning to the Carlton. Let's get my luggage up to the room, will you, please?
Oh, yes, sir. I know when you come back this time. It's in the air.
What's in the air?
Rain. It rains when you leave, and when it rains again, I know you come back. Oh, this time.
What about the young lady? The one I accidentally knocked down when I left?
Oh, you make a very big splash.
Oh?
She's the one I make bet with on your returning.
Oh, then she's still here. Did she order a new dress?
No, not yet. She waited for you. She said she'll ask you to go shopping with her.
If I remember, she was the most attractive young lady.
Most attractive.
Why don't you make arrangements for this evening, hey boy?
To go shopping?
Of course. But be sure we start in the lounge at 7 with cocktails.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Here comes Elmer Blurt, world's lowest pressure salesman.
Nobody home, I hope.
Rudolph the bodybuilder, at your service.
I only came to tell you about the new 1959 Rambler.
Okay, lie down on the table and let's talk.
Well, I don't know.
Lie down!
But the 59 Rambler...
I know. First in sales gains, first in economy, first with personalized comfort.
Couldn't you just count on your fingers?
Imagine, Rambler seats are individually adjustable. Perfect fit, perfect comfort for tall people or short. No more kinks in those leg muscles there.
Oh, woe is me.
No stiff neck either.
Oh, ouch.
Because Rambler has adjustable headrests. Yes, sir, only Rambler has the best of both. Big car room, small car economy. Well, you've sold me. Sign me up.
Okay, but you'll have to carry me out to my Rambler so I can get my order pad.
Rambler outsells all six of the best-selling foreign makes combined. 59 Rambler sales are nearly 2.5 times greater than a year ago. See the success car at Rambler dealers. Have gun. Will travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Paul Dubov, Helen Klebe, Ken Lynch, Jess Kirkpatrick, and Sam Edwards. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's Have Gun, Will Travel. Good broadcast from March 22nd, 1959. That was heard on CBS, starring John Daner as the man called Paladin. He was a soldier of fortune, Lisa, Paladin was, and he would do the dirty work others wouldn't do, of course, for a price, very high price. But he had a .45 caliber Colt single action Army cavalry model revolver.
Can't you get it all
with
out?
A seven? That's a lot to say.
It's a lot
with
of
a
words.
7.5-inch barrel. It was a specially made gun for him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Uh-huh.
And it was deadly accurate.
Right.
But here's what he did. He carried a Derringer. As you heard in this radio show, he carried a Derringer under his belt. And, you know, when, let's say, somebody got that gun away, well, he still had a two-shot Derringer under his belt.
Tricky.
Saved his life many, many times. Good episode. He wore all black when he would go on, you know, doing his... He had a business card with the knight chest symbol on there. Have gun, will travel. And he would give that out. And people would pay him big dough, and he'd go do dirty work others wouldn't do for a hefty price. I like it. That's a great series. Great idea. Great series. Very popular on television. Many seasons. I think it was 7 or 8 seasons on TV.
Well, it started really early.
Yeah.
Television really first began.
Yeah. And then, of course, a radio version as well. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Tonight at
11. You're so close.
I get here at 10.
Right.
And I'm here by 10.
But you're not on the radio.
No, I know.
You're usually just
I just want to be on the radio
taking
at 10.
A little rest.
I'd like to be on the radio at 10.
Would you?
Yeah, but there's other shows before us, so we have to wait our turn.
Okay.
But we get our turn, 3 hours.
We do.
We get to be on three
you're
hours.
You're not very patient.
No.
No.
No, I haven't never been patient.